A few weeks ago, Joel Hurd and I traveled to the Dixon County Fairgrounds, around 20 miles this side of Nashville, for the 11th annual Middle Tennessee Fiber Festival. It's a gathering of artists and vendors from all over the South and beyond. Three large buildings and an outdoor pavilion are overflowing with people teaching classes, exchanging ideas, selling their wares, and just generally celebrating all things fiber-related. The first person I saw on this rainy Saturday morning was Beth Collier of Three Creeks Farm in Charlotte, Tennessee. Beth started this festival 11 years ago and has been the organizer of the event ever since.
Well, a fiber festival is a gathering of people who love wool and yarn. So this is a gathering of people who like to make things with wool. So there's knitters and spinners, there's felters, dyers, there's booths that sell all of the stuff that you need to do, spinning, knitting, weaving, felting, and there's some booths that have sheep-related items, such as sheep-related pottery. You can just buy stuff, you can buy kits. We have lessons, several classes on how to knit, spin, weave, but it's a fun time. And we have the sheep shearing on Saturdays. We have demonstrations. There's a alpaca selfie booth. And it's also kind of a homecoming for those of us who are fiber artists. You know, we get to hang out with each other, but see some beautiful art. And when you walk around and you see the different art, we have two wood turners that make fiber-related tools and everything you need to either have finished things or to make them.
Alan Dewey, originally from Hull, a port city on the east coast of England, goes by the name of Bobbin Boy. He now lives in Asheville, North Carolina, where he applies his woodworking skills to keep spinning wheels in working condition.
This was the idea for the business was my wife's. Because I'm a wood turner, and she wanted some bobbins for a spinning wheel one day, and I made them for her. And she realized that lots of spinners need extra bobbins because they like to leave the thread on the bobbins. And so, and Bobbin Boy was born. We make not just spinning wheel bobbins, we make tapestry bobbins and lace bobbins. But the spinning wheel bobbins are the main thrust of the business. And also antiques repairs. We do with the antique spinning wheels often need some tweaking and repairing. And we do that too.
Now, speaking of antique spinning wheels, we see these in antique shops and in people's houses and things, and we think, oh, that can't possibly work. But that's a good part of your business, is making these old wheels work again.
That's absolutely correct. Now, it's always a gamble when you buy an old spinning wheel from an antique store. There are several things that could have happened. Maybe the antique dealers put different parts from different wheels on it. Maybe it was used for 150 years and it's really worn out. Maybe Granny didn't do a lot of spinning on it and it's in great shape and all the parts have survived, and you might get lucky and it might be $50 and it might be $100 and you might not have to spend much on it. But if you spend $200 or $300 on it and you've got to spend another $200 or $300, you're still going to get a workable wheel at the end, just as good as a modern wheel. And of course, modern wheels aren't cheap.
Right.
So, you know, it's a kind of, it's a customer's choice.
We're talking with Melissa Dewey, who is the female half of Bobbin Boy. We just talked to your husband a minute ago about his work making bobbins and restoring wheels. You've got something completely different going on over on this part of the booth, and this is something that I've never seen before. What are these machines?
People are going to call them sock knitting machines because that's what everybody did with them. They are circular knitting machines. They've been invented for some time, but basically it was as of the 1900s that they really hit the home markets and began to be used. What they do is they knit in a circle. And so the obvious use of something at this size is for making socks. Everybody had to make socks. Everybody had to have lots of socks. And this was a very useful replacement of a rather onerous chore. They failed rather abysmally in sales for about 100 years because nobody thought, there was a lot of money then and now, and people were convinced then and now that they were going to buy it and not be able to use it. And so they said, no, I'm not going to buy it. And then World War I came along. The American Red Cross and other Red Cross organizations struck a deal with the manufacturers of the circular knitting machines, the sock machines. And they said, we'll get you a lot. And they set it up like the old typing schools. typewriter, typewriter, typewriter. Instead, it was knitter, knitter, knitter. And they said to the people, veterans, injured people, and the women at home, will you come and knit? We'll teach you how. They said, sure, they want to know how anyway. Okay, we'll come. And then everybody was knitting. And then here was the kicker. They said, if you make your quota, and it was a high quota, but if you make your quota, you can have the machine. So patriotism and economy converged, and that we made millions and millions of socks, other knitted articles. We knitted for the refugees of Europe as well. I was really proud. I didn't know that. And then I read the Field Marshal in France of the Expeditionary Forces wrote, and we knitted 6 million articles in this country, 6 million articles in 3 months for refugees.
Alan Dewey isn't the only one at the festival to bring an international perspective to fiber arts. We also met an artist who learned her craft from her grandmother while growing up in Soviet-era Eastern Europe.
My name is Lucy Classic Spina, but my real name, Galina Beitvil. Lucy is because of my mom's name. Now, when I get my citizenship, I ask the judge, please grant me the middle name. I want to have the middle name as all Americans. And I'm very proud. I received my citizenship 5 years ago, and now I'm Galina Lucy Beitvil, but everybody knows me as a Lucy Classic Spinner. The name Classic Spinner my husband made for me because I love to spin, and he said, are you a classy lady from Ukraine? I said, yes. So now I'm a Lucy Classic Spinner. I love to weave, to spin the yarn and make the shawls. My grandma taught me back in the Ukraine when I was 5 years old. And when I came to America, I used to be a teacher back in the Ukraine, teaching English and Spanish. Came here, everybody speaks English and Spanish. What shall I do? I back to my roots, what my grandma taught me to do, knit, make the socks and gloves. And now I have a big business going on. I sell my stuff on the internet, on the Etsy shop, where people sell all handmade, go to different festivals. 3 weeks ago, I came back from Toronto. I was teaching for 10 days how to make the shawl, which can go through your wedding ring, Orenburg Gossamer Web Shawl. And this is what I do now. I love USA and thank you very much.
Most of the yarn and fleece here is, not surprisingly, from sheep. But festival organizer Beth Collier was anxious to show us a huge table full of fleeces from some less familiar animals.
This particular fleece is from an Angora goat. The wool from an Angora goat is mohair. We have some alpaca. And there's some fiber folks over here that sell camel down, cashmere. I doubt anybody has kivyud because that's just too expensive to have down here. Now, kivyud is the favorite Scrabble word, Q-I-V-I-U-T. And it's the short underhair, the down of the muskox. And it goes for $200 to $300 an ounce.
For as many types of fleece that are available, there seem to be just as many ways to dye fibers to any color imaginable. Jan Quarles is a retired professor from Middle Tennessee State who uses indigo dye to create striking blue and white patterns on silk and other materials.
Indigo's a natural dye. Has been used for centuries. There are traditional ways to use indigo and contemporary ways, and what I do is mix Japanese folding, clamping, stitching techniques on different fibers and then use what indigo natural dye. I make a small pot, or in my case at home, I have a 100-quart pot, which is huge, takes up half my carport. And indigo's a cold dye, and so you dip your fabrics into the cold dye, give it some time, and it comes out. If you've never seen indigo done, you have to see it done. It comes out a brilliant green. So what I have around me in my booth is blue. Indigo works in the lack of oxygen, and so when you take it out of the indigo pot and let it develop, it goes from bright green in a matter of minutes, even seconds, to this deep blue that I work with. Indigo right now, this whole process of making pattern with it and dyeing with it is really trending across the United States. Who knew? In California, they have indigo social nights, where you go and you party by dyeing your indigo.
That's Jan Quarles, Lucy Classic Spinner, Alan and Melissa Dewey, and Beth Collier, just a few of the many artists at the Middle Tennessee Fiber Festival in Dixon, Tennessee, a few weeks ago. There are several other fiber events in the next few months, including one in Oxford, Mississippi in January, and you can get more information about them at tnfiberfestival.com. For links to these artists, as well as photos from the festival and a video where Melissa Dewey demonstrates circular knitting machines, visit wknofm.org. This special edition of Checking on the Arts was recorded and produced by Joel Hurd. I'm Daryl Snodgrass.